It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around.
This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
Well, you know, one of the biggest problems that the Affordable Care Act is intended to address is the high cost of health insurance coverage. I think everyone can relate to that. And the skyrocketing premiums, every year it seems that companies keep asking for more and more money for premiums. The Affordable Care Act did two things to address those high costs, and one of them we can call the 80-20 rule or medical loss ratio. This is now requiring companies to pay at least 80% of every premium dollar on actual medical care.
Health law attorney Jill Hankin at the Virginia Poverty Law Center explains how the Affordable Care Act, argued in the U.S. Supreme Court last month, already is providing lower costs and better health coverage for 165 million privately insured Americans. And during this week's News You Can Use, you will learn how major banks knowingly sell debts despite having no idea whether the money really is owed or, if owed, how much. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. This show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 163, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Bank of America has sold collection agencies rights to sue over credit card debts that it has privately noted were potentially inaccurate or already repaid. In a series of 2009 and 2010 transactions, B of A sold credit card debts to an outfit called CACH for 1.8 cents on the dollar. A portion of the debts were accounts acquired from MBNA, which Bank of America purchased in 2006. The pricing reflects the account's questionable quality, but what is notable is that the bank could get anything at all for them. B of A was not making any representations, warranties, promises, covenants, agreements, or guarantees of any kind or character whatsoever about the accuracy or completeness of the debt's records, according to a 2010 credit card sales agreement submitted to a California state court in a civil suit involving debt that B of A had sold to CACH. In the as-is documents, B of A warned that it would initially provide no records to support the amounts it said were owed and might be unable to produce them. It also stated that some of the claims it sold might already have been extinguished in bankruptcy court. B of A has additionally cautioned that it might be selling loans whose balances are approximate or that consumers have already paid back in full. Bank of America is not alone. In 2009, U.S. Bancorp sold debt under an agreement which states that it may have failed to credit borrowers for some payments and only guarantees the accuracy of account balances within a 10% margin of error. J.P. Morgan Chase sold $200 million of credit card debt to Palisades Collection in 2008, even though records proving the debt might be unavailable for close to half of the claims. The U.S. Office of the Comptroller of the Currency is currently investigating the handling of credit card debt records by J.P. Morgan Chase, where a group of current and former employees have described how the bank had sold card accounts previously deemed toxic waste and which suffered from errors in the amounts being claimed. At Bank of America, records declared unreliable yet sold to CACH were used to file thousands of lawsuits against consumers in the state courts, where collection suits are typically filed. The overwhelming majority of cases end up in default judgments, which are awarded to creditors when borrowers don't show up to contest the claims made against them. This is standard operating procedure, and these sharp and illegal practices have totally corrupted the processes of our courts by willful blindness, arrogance, ignorance, and greed. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's case that changed the Commonwealth is Coe versus Coe. Paul Coe left his wife in 1979 and filed a divorce against her for constructive desertion. 9 months after the separation, he asked the York County Circuit Court to amend his complaint and grant a divorce on grounds of adultery, which the court did over the wife's objection. The wife appealed, arguing that the claimed adultery occurred approximately 9 months after the parties had separated and after the marriage had been irretrievably broken. But the Virginia Supreme Court ruled against her. The court reasoned that Virginia's general one-year waiting period between the separation and the divorce is designed primarily to give the parties an opportunity to reconcile and to determine whether they desire the separation to be final, and that committing adultery during that period is the one act most likely to frustrate and prevent a reconciliation. This has been the law ever since. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and Coe versus Coe is this week's case that changed the Commonwealth.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, and we're speaking with health law attorney Jill Hankin about the benefits of the Affordable Care Act for Virginia 2 years after enactment. Of course, last month, the U.S. Supreme Court considered the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act, and we'll talk about that later in the interview. But first, we want to talk about what benefits we've already seen in Virginia 2 years after the act was passed. Welcome to the show, Jill.
Hi, Marty.
Now, would you tell our listeners, in terms of the benefits that the act has already shown us, there's some benefits for young adults. What does that involve?
Well, Marty, this is one of the most popular provisions of the Affordable Care Act, and it's the provision that requires health insurance companies to continue to provide coverage to children up to their 26th birthday. Before the Affordable Care Act, a lot of young people lost their coverage through their parents and then were uninsured. So now the law requires continued coverage, and we know that there are over 60,000 young people, young adults in Virginia, who've gained coverage as a result of the new law, including my own daughter.
And I think my son is also in that category as well. What about nationwide? How many young adults have been able to stay on their parents' coverage?
It's over 2.5 million young adults throughout the United States have continued their health insurance because of this provision.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, I gather there are certain benefits for senior citizens. What are those benefits that people who are elderly have been getting under this new act?
Well, there's been a lot of help for individuals who receive Medicare. The main changes for Medicare beneficiaries relates to their prescription drug coverage under Part D. Back in 2010, when the law was first adopted, any Medicare beneficiary who ended up in the Part D donut hole, and that's the part of the coverage where you have incurred a lot of prescription drug expenses, but then in the donut hole you're expected to pay your own way for a period of time until you get catastrophic coverage of your drugs under Part D. In 2010, the Affordable Care Act provided anybody who ended up in that donut hole with a rebate check of $250. And that was actually sent to about 85,000 Virginians. And then in 2011, the process started of closing the donut hole, and it's supposed to completely close by 2020, which means at that point there won't be any period of time for Medicare beneficiaries when they would have to pay their own way exclusively for their prescription drug coverage. This is hurting people who have the highest prescription drug needs. So the donut hole is starting to close, and people who hit that donut hole in 2011 did get a 50% discount on any brand name drugs that they needed when they hit the donut hole. And we have heard that this has resulted in a savings of about $600 per person who hits that donut hole in Virginia. The other really important thing for all Medicare beneficiaries is that beneficiaries no longer have to pay any kind of copayment or cost sharing for preventive health services that they receive through Medicare. So this covers things like flu shots, mammograms, testing for prostate cancers or other cancers, and that's an immediate cost savings for all Medicare beneficiaries. And by the way, the requirement that for preventive care services, people don't pay copayments also applies to anyone with private insurance. So this year, people who got their flu shots and had their private health insurance cover that flu shot didn't have to pay any kind of $10 copay or whatever for that flu shot.
Another provision of the Affordable Care Act is something called the 80-20 rule. What is that, and how does that improve the healthcare system?
Well, you know, one of the biggest problems that the Affordable Care Act is intended to address is the high cost of health insurance coverage. I think everyone can relate to that, and the skyrocketing premiums. Every year, it seems that companies keep asking for more and more money for premiums. The Affordable Care Act did two things to address those high costs, and one of them we can call the 80-20 rule or medical loss ratio. This is now requiring companies to pay at least 80% of every premium dollar on actual medical care. That makes perfect sense. The other 20% can go for administrative costs, can go for CEO salaries, can go to profits, but 80% has to go towards medical care, actual medical services. And for large group plans, the medical loss ratio is actually 85%. So this is one way the Affordable Care Act is trying to make sure that insurance companies aren't charging too much. They need to now spend 80 or 85% of every premium dollar received on medical care. The second thing that the Affordable Care Act does with regard to the cost of private health insurance relates to rate setting and reviews of increases in premiums that are requested by insurance companies. In Virginia, we don't have many laws that require scrutiny of increases in insurance rates, but this new law does require companies that are requesting more than 10% increase in their premiums to have that rate increase reviewed, and they need to justify why they need a 10% increase in those premiums. Again, this is a way for us to put more transparency into private insurance rates so that we know why the premiums are set at the amount that they are and how the premium dollars are actually being spent. I think these are two of the most important things in the Affordable Care Act.
Now, another problem that existed in the past before this act were companies would put lifetime limits on health benefits. So if you had a particularly expensive to treat medical problem like cancer or something of that nature, you would literally run out of benefits. I gather that is no longer permissible under this law.
That's correct. No more lifetime limits on private insurance. Everyone in Virginia who has private health insurance is being benefited from that. And as you said, only people with very, very severe medical conditions ever get close to that cap. But now you don't have to worry about hitting that cap. And the law is also phasing out annual limits on the amount of coverage people can receive so that they will be entirely banned in the year 2014.
And another big problem before this law took effect was limits on insuring people with pre-existing conditions. Basically, before this law took effect, if you had some type of pre-existing condition, the insurance company could say, we're not going to insure you, and many people just could not get insurance. I gather that, too, is on its way out because of this act?
Well, that's right. The law does several things. First of all, already another provision that has already taken place is that children who have private health insurance cannot be denied coverage of any condition that's a pre-existing condition. So children are already protected. And then in 2014, that same prohibition will take place for adults. But in the interim for adults, the law set up a new insurance plan called a pre-existing condition insurance plan that allows people who've been uninsured for 6 months to gain insurance coverage despite the fact that they have pre-existing conditions. And this has helped almost 1,000 people in Virginia get coverage that they can afford that will cover their pre-existing conditions. People who have pre-existing conditions and who have been uninsured for 6 months can apply for the Virginia plans by using the federal website www.healthcare.gov, and if you go to the pre-existing condition health plan page, you can click on Virginia and see exactly which plans are being offered in Virginia and how much they cost. And the premiums for this plan range from just about $100 a month for children and up to about $500 for adults. So it's actually a much more affordable plan than were available in the past.
And indeed, in the past, pretty much no plan was available because no insurance company would touch these folks.
Well, they would say they'd give you a policy, but they would charge such an exorbitant amount that it would be really impossible to get the health care that you need. And even if you would pay your premiums, there would still be a 12-month ban on covering your pre-existing conditions while you're paying high premiums. So this is really hugely important for people who are uninsured because of their pre-existing conditions.
As a result of the Affordable Care Act, Virginia has been showered with literally millions of dollars to bring other parts of it into effect. Could you tell us what's been happening and what we can expect in the near future?
Well, there's a whole host of grants and planning grants that have been made available to Virginia. At the last count, I calculate that Virginia has received over $70 million in grants and programs to help implement the Affordable Care Act and also to conduct different studies about quality health care, expanding ways to expand the health workforce. Our community health centers are receiving money to expand their services. So there's a lot that's been going on. And meanwhile, Virginia is preparing for 2014 when three major changes happen under the Affordable Care Act. And I could review those quickly. First of all, there'll be a new health benefit exchange, which will allow people to shop for private health insurance. It's like a marketplace. Sometimes we say it's like a Travelocity or Orbitz website. People will be able to shop for their health insurance, comparing apples to apples. And through the exchange, there will be federal subsidies available to lower-income people to help pay for the premiums.
So this is the market that's intended for the uninsured primarily, the people who aren't getting Medicare or Medicaid or they don't have private health insurance. This is really the heart of the act to get those people covered. Is that right?
That's right. And for the uninsured and also for people working in small businesses where the cost of coverage in those small businesses has been quite high. The second major thing that happens in 2014 is the expansion of the Medicaid program. And for Virginia, this is a huge change because we've had very low income levels in our Medicaid program for decades. This would set a new national eligibility level for low-income people at 133% of the poverty line, which is about $15,000 a year for an individual, about $30,000 a year for a family of four. And those folk in 2014 be able to qualify for Medicaid coverage to help them get the health care that they need. And we expect over 400,000 Virginians to qualify for Medicaid when the new provisions take effect in 2014. And the third thing that happens in that year is the issue that's been getting the most attention in the last week or so, and that is that in 2014, most people will be required to have health insurance. And again, it can be through your employer, through Medicaid, Medicare, through the exchange. But people will be required to have insurance. This is what we refer to sometimes as the individual mandate. And the whole point of this is to make sure that all those provisions we've been talking about related to private health insurance, make sure that it works. Things like keeping adult children on the plan and offering health insurance to everyone despite their pre-existing health conditions, controlling the rates of health insurance premiums and health insurance premium increases. All this depends upon private insurers having a large enough pool of covered individuals so that they can afford to do those positive things in the private insurance market. So those are the three things that happened in 2014. And of course, we had a busy week with the U.S. Supreme Court looking at two of those issues. They looked at the Medicaid expansion to determine if that change is constitutional, and they did look at the individual mandate and will be determining if that change is constitutional.
Well, thank you very much. We have been talking with Jill Hankin. She is a health law attorney at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, and we have been talking about the Affordable Care Act, the benefits we've already seen over the past 2 years, and what the future might hold for us, especially if the U.S. Supreme Court decides that the act is constitutional and can be fully implemented in the year 2014. Thank you very much for being on the show, Jill. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's Strange But True Law is from Title 53.1, which deals with prisons and other methods of correction. Code of Virginia 53.1-231.2 provides that persons convicted of nonviolent felonies, except certain drug-related offenses and election fraud, who is of good behavior for 5 years and pays the cost of prosecution, may petition a circuit court for approval of a restoration of voting rights. However, the circuit court can't actually restore your voting rights. Instead, the court may only determine whether a petitioner has presented competent evidence supporting the statutory criteria and pass that information on to the governor, who still has the final say-so. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and that's this week's Strange But True Law.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral four, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. It's often called a case within a case, not only proving that a lawyer was negligent and made a mistake, but also proving that but for that negligence and mistake, a lawsuit that was lost would have been won. Join us next week when private attorney Aubrey Ford discusses legal malpractice in a rebroadcast of a show originally heard on October 6, 2010. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.